Nehemiah chapter 9, we are after the great revival chapter in the Bible, Nehemiah chapter 8. We looked at the results of revival. We saw how the people prepared for revival. We saw what God did in Nehemiah chapter 8. So keep in mind, when you look at verse number 1 in Nehemiah chapter 9, look at verse 1. Now in the 24th day of this month, you say, what month? Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. Look at verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. So we're talking about the month of October. Now go back to Nehemiah chapter 9. So this is a revival chapter 8 that took place, it says here, on the 24th day. So for 23 days, 3 weeks and 2 days, they heard the Bible read and taught for 6 hours a day. So I would call that, that's quite a revival. And their idea of celebration was to hear preaching and hear the Word of God taught. Now we come to Nehemiah chapter 9, and what makes Nehemiah chapter 9? So when you're reading this, I wanted you to keep in mind we're fresh out of a revival. Now you come to the longest prayer in the Bible for revival. Remember, they all start with 9. You've got Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and Daniel 9. But this is the longest prayer of, Dear God, please help us. As we get started on this, the prayer doesn't start until verse 6. But watch, they're 23 days into this revival. And then notice verse number, well, keep on watching here. It says, the month of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. Three things. They decided to go without food to remind them of praying. They weren't told to fast. This is not God saying fast. This is them saying, I want to get closer to God, so I'm going to do without food for a given period of time. Sometimes it can be a meal. Sometimes it can be a day of food. But they're fasting. Then they're doing a second thing. They're putting on sackcloth. That's burlap. And when you put that on your skin, it itches. It's uncomfortable. And it reminds you, the Jews would say, it reminds me of how my sin irritates God. And it causes me to pray more. So they're fasting. They're putting on sackcloth, and then they're putting earth or dirt or dust on their head, which dries out the skin and makes the sackcloth more irritating. You say, why would you do that? God says, when you afflict your soul and weaken your flesh so that you can sense better what God is doing in your life and you can see things spiritually more clearer. Many times we can't see what God's doing. We can't see what God wants us to do because our flesh is so, Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. So what does it, sometimes when it's like, you know what, I really need to get in touch with God, I need to fast and I need to afflict my soul. And then when you do without food, there's many fasts in the Bible. Food fast, sleep fast, we've taught on fasting before, but it's not for super Christians. People have a tendency, oh, if you're going to miss a meal for Jesus and pray instead, wow. You're like, way up there. It's basic Christianity. Fasting is not something that super Christians do. It's something, it's supposed to be something, you know what? I really need to find out God's direction in my life. I need God's help in my life. When you come to certain things, no, there's times for fasting. I need to make sure I'm doing what God wants. So I do what? I weaken my flesh so that the spirit, my spirit can sense and get in touch with God more with what God's doing. They're fasting, they're putting on sackcloth, and they're putting dirt or dust on their heads. Look at verse 2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. That's why this is a prayer of revival. Lord, we have sinned. We have blown it. We are losers. We are failure. Dear God, help us. And it's a prayer for revival. Notice verse 3. And they stood up in their place, watch, and read in the book of the law of the Lord. Keep in mind, they're fasting. The law of the law of the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day. So for 3 hours, they stood and read the Bible. Or had the right Bible read to them. Keep in mind now, this is a crowd of 50,000 people. And they didn't have a Bible like you do. Nobody touched the scriptures. Even when the scribes read it, they got a pointer that's about 8 inches, 10 inches long, and they point it. Nobody touches the Bible. So for 3 hours, they hear it read. Then notice the next part of the verse. It says here, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So for 3 hours, they heard the Bible read, and then for 3 hours, they confessed their sins and prayed to God. The next two verses are lists of men who lead them in worship, and I'll describe to you in just a second, but watch this. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua, and Bani, and Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunny, what a name, Sherebiah, Bani, I wonder if Bani and Bunny were related, and Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. These were men that were helping people praise the Lord. You say, leading in worship, that's like worship leaders today at the there was no rock band. But they were saying, before, I don't know if you realize this, but when we come to church, we sing together, then we take the Bible, we open it up, and we study and learn and preach and all that stuff. In the days of King David, they had the Sabbath day, Saturday, you went there, but there was singing around the clock. Night and daytime. There were people who sang on shifts during the night. And when you came to the house of God, if it wasn't for the main service, you could go to God's house any time of the day and somebody would meet you. It'd be like a greeter saying, would you like to go pray? Would you like, now they didn't handle the Bible, but would you like me to pray with you? Would you like me to praise God with you? Would you like me, you understand? So you could call these worship leaders here. And the men are helping the people shout to the Lord and tell God how good he is and he's worthy of praise and all that God has done. God is still greater than everything God's done. That's what he's saying. He's to be exalted above everything. Now you get into the prayer. Look at verse 6. It says here, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Now, this prayer is divided into two sections. It starts with recognizing God as the Creator, and from verse 7 to the end of the chapter is the history of Israel and how they've blown it, and yet God still hasn't forsaken them. Lord, we failed in this, and Lord, you've put up with this, and dear God, and it is a testimony. We're going to look at that section of the prayer tonight. We're just going to look at verse 6. And notice how they start the prayer. They recognize God as what? The Creator of the universe. Now, it is good to know when you open your Bible, the first verse, God, you read. If you didn't know anything about your Bible, the first thing God wants you to know about him is that he's the Creator. And do you know why we have the problems that we have in America? You know why it's getting so dark? I don't care if you want to talk about a cold civil war. I don't care if you want to talk about the drug cartel that just killed that family down in Mexico. I know they were Mormons. They were down there witnessing, quote unquote. But still, I mean, left the baby in the car seat and then caught it on fire. That's butchery. Cut the people in pieces. That's just across the border. Dark things like that happening. How come things like that? And I know this, before Jesus comes, things get worse. I'm not expecting the world to get better. Yet, how come things are happening this way? Because America has failed to see that God is the creator. God is the creator. And when you remove God, and I'll show you tonight, if God didn't create you, then you get to run the show. You get to be your own God. If God didn't make you and God didn't make the universe, when God is failed to see as the creator, because evolution is being taught, it's a tsunami of poison. When that's taught, nothing but blood is shed. Okay? And I'll show you that tonight. God wants to be known as your creator. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's not a good idea. God exists. And when I pray, I'm talking to God Almighty. I'm not talking to a religious idea. I'm not talking to a blog. I'm talking to a real person when I pray. They that come to God must believe that he is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The only way I know God is through the Bible. And then tonight, as a matter of fact, I think the next place we need to go, if we're going to look at God as the creator, why don't you go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible is the only book that answers the four great questions. Who am I? What am I worth? Your self-worth comes from God. Your self-worth doesn't come from your possessions. Your self-worth doesn't come from other people. You are only as secure in yourself as you are close to God. And when you backslide, you get insecure real fast and you start grabbing at other things. Money, things, clothes. Your self-worth comes from God. And the closer you get to God, the more you realize I'm God's creation, I'm saved, I'm God's child, and God lives within me. But the four questions, Bible's the only one that answers. You know, you find people, how come you're doing that? I'm just trying to find myself. You're an idiot. You need to get saved. Amen? How many times have you heard people, I'm just trying to find myself? You won't until you find God. It's going to get worse and worse until you find the Lord. Watch this. Where did I come from? God made me. I didn't come from a monkey. How about this? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? My life is so... God's the only one that gives purpose to you. Where am I going when I die? God gives you your purpose when he saves you. Amen? I'm not here just to eat, sleep, and excrete. Sorry, that rhymes, okay? But that's what some people do. They're literally here just to exist. No, I've got a purpose in life. Who told you that? God did. So the four great questions, where am I going when I die? I know I'm going to heaven because the Bible tells me so. My security comes from God. Next, understanding the issues. This is such a big issue. The issue concerns the very foundation of the Christian faith. The Bible tells you, what is the image of God? You were made in God's image. You're accountable to God. Standards. Marriage. Look, the only reason they're questioning defining marriage weird is because they got away from the Bible. Nobody wondered what marriage was 40 years ago. Well, is it between a man? It's not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. It's between a man and a woman. It's the way God designed it, right? But now they're confused because what? The Bible doesn't matter anymore. The fall and sin. How come the world's in the mess that it's in? Been that way for 6,000 years. Bloodshed and disease and pain and hurt. It's been that way since man messed it up. God didn't make it this way, right? Then the cross is the answer. And then the meaning of life. All of that. There's a reason Genesis is the first book in your Bible. Because it is so foundational. If you haven't read it, could I encourage you to? But there's a reason God put it in the Bible first. All right, it's the first of the books of the law of Moses. All right, they say, oh, that's amazing. A big bang made this world from nothing. That's the humanist worldview. That's where man is God and he answers to no one. And that's why they like evolution. Because if you believe God created you, then God owns you, right? And that's why they don't like to talk about creation. No, we come from monkeys. And yeah, then you get to live like an animal. Since you come from animals and God doesn't matter, right? No, but if you evolved, then you answer to nobody since there's no God. And that you're dealing, that's what our society's dealing with. Okay? Without the original sin, who needs to be redeemed? Nobody. Without Adam's fall into sin, terminated by death, what purpose is there in Christianity? None. Genesis is a very important book. What you believe will determine how you behave. What you believe about God determines how you act. If you're going to be accountable to God, and you know you're going to see God one day, prepare to meet thy God, and you're going to stand before the one that made you, then yeah, you'll keep yourself in check. But if you're never going to stand before God, and if this life is all there is, then yeah, eat, drink, and be merry, and do whatever you want to do. But no, you're going to be held accountable to God one day. We learn that from the Bible. What you believe will determine how you behave. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:7, he said, in the last days men would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. Well, we just don't know why all this is happening. It's happening because you removed the truth. Well, so they try to make society better by dumbing people down and then taking away the guns and all this. I told you before, you can't removing the tools of death doesn't work. It's the heart that's the problem, right? Because you can kill somebody with a car. You can kill somebody with a pillow, right? What are you going to do, outlaw pillows? You get a background check before you buy that pillow. It's a down pillow. Isn't that goofy? I'm telling you, murder comes from the heart. Murder comes from the heart, Jesus said. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me see if I can show you this tonight. In Genesis chapter 1, watch this. Notice the order that God puts down here, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, okay? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. Notice this, it was good in verse number 4, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, God put that there so you don't make it... Look, the only people that believe... You know what theistic evolution is? Theistic evolution is the compromising Christian that says, well, I'm trying to make the evolutionists happy, and I'm trying to make the Christians happy, so these days could have been... Look, if it's 20 billion years ago, then let's make each... What would happen if you made each day 330 million years? There's a reason God put, and the evening and the, what? And the morning were the first day. That's because it's a literal 24 hours. It's amazing. No, it's 24 hours. God said, let there be light, divided the light from darkness. Here, just, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to see something. Look at verse number 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And then look at verse 12, and the earth brought forth, watch, grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself. So all plants and trees were created, right, on the third day. Verse number 13, God saw that it was good at the end of verse 12, and verse 13 says, in the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night. So God made the sun on the fourth day. You know how come the days aren't millions of years? How long can a plant live without sunlight? Day 3, God made the plants. Day 4, God made the sun. No, it wasn't 300 million years till the sun came along. That's some algae. That's like superalgae or something. It's stupid. It doesn't exist. And I think God put the creation of plants and trees on the third day and made the sun on the fourth day just for that reason. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But no, it was one day. God made all the plants and the grass and the trees, and then the next day gave the sun, right? For photosynthesis and all that stuff. Then watch this, verse number 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the fourth day. And then notice this, at the end of verse 21, it says, and God saw that it was good. Verse 23, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created, watch, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. If you'd like to know, the word replenish means to fill completely. It does not mean to refill. You say, if you replenish, it's got to be plenished. That's not how the word was used from the 1300s to the 1700s. The King James Bible was translated in 1611, right? So if you circle the word replenish and put fill completely. In other words, there's no such thing as a gap theory. The earth wasn't created, Satan rebelled, and then it was several thousand years, and then verse, you know, garbage on the, and that's not tonight's Bible study. I'm just showing you, God told a man and a woman to replenish the earth and fill completely. God's plan for marriage is a man and a woman, never a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And if you get that out of order, bloodshed follows. That's God's order. The home is ordered by God, and it is to be kept that way. But our society wants to take things out of that order. So guess what? We pay the price. Chaos. Bloodshed. Anger. It's amazing. No, any society, you cannot take things. Okay, watch this. It says here, look at the verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Guess what happens if you take things out of order? It becomes very bad. Very bad. You don't want to believe in a creator? You want to believe we come from monkeys? Bloodshed will follow. People will kill people like animals. No, it becomes very bad. This is God's order. He's the creator. He set things in order, and we should not take things out of order, or we pay the price, and that's what you're... Look, I don't expect tonight's Bible study to solve their problems, but doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians 1:15, the spiritual judgeth... No, 2:15, the spiritual judgeth all things? You can at least know why the chaos is happening, right? They're not going to start... Nobody's going to hear this sermon, you know, from Gospel Light Baptist Church and go, oh my goodness, in the public school we're teaching evolution. Pastor Nash said we need to start teaching creation. I'm sure they could care less, but at least you can know. The public school is training our society. That's where society and values are formed. You come from an animal. There is no God. Live any way you want. And they're taught that. You teach a child that for 12 years, voila, animal house. That's what society is. Teach a child that for 12 years. No God. You come from an animal. You're never going to stand before anything. Just do what you want to do. Okay? Here we go. Now, we've looked at Genesis 1. Jesus said here in John 5, verse 46, Jesus said, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Why is creation so important? Because if you don't believe Genesis, why would you or how could you believe the rest of the Bible? If you don't believe, look, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You either believe it or you don't. And if you don't, the rest of the Bible doesn't make sense, right? Now, to prove that to you, and let me show you how creation and salvation are God puts them together, go to Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Go to your New Testament, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Those people that make the day, well, you know, it could have been thousands and thousands a year. You only apply that to Genesis 1 because you don't want to believe creation as God spoke it. But when Joshua marched around the city of Jericho for 7 days, was it? Did he march for 7,000 years? Goofy, you know? No, they only lengthen the day when God specifically says, "In the evening and the morning were this day." Genesis 1, but they linked that. Well, it could have been thousands of years. That's because they're compromisers. They're trying to make everybody happy, and you can't do that. All right, watch this. Colossians chapter 1. Now, here's what I'm going to point out to you, and I want you to notice this. Look at verse 9. At the end of verse 9 is a semicolon. Everybody see that? Remember I've told you before, if you'll read your Bible grammatically, just notice what is a sentence. It'll help you. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, has a semicolon. What's at the end of verse 10? Semicolon. What's at the end of verse 11? Semicolon. End of verse 12? A colon. End of verse 13? A colon. End of verse 14? A colon. End of verse 15? A colon. End of verse 16? A colon. And where's the period? At the end of verse 17. So when you read Colossians 1, Ephesians does the same thing. Verse 9 to 17 is a sentence, right? And a sentence is supposed to be a complete thought, right? So if I'm going to read the Bible, notice where the periods are. Now, that's a long sentence, right? Notice what's in the sentence. Look at verse number. I'm just going to point out to you, it's talking about Jesus, but watch this. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's salvation, right? That's what happened when you got saved. You were translated from darkness to light, right? Then notice this. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's salvation, right? Notice verse number 6. Well, here, let's just read 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. Verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. By who? By Jesus. Right? By Jesus were all things created. God wants you to know that your Creator died for you. What a thought. Right? And then notice this. And that that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You know how important creation is? If you can get a country of people to not believe in a creator anymore, they won't get saved either. And that's what's happening. I'm not saying people aren't getting saved anymore. I'm saying it's getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Because more and more are believing that there is no God. You understand? Because they're taught that for 12 years in the public school. Right? God puts creation and salvation in the same sentence. And if you don't believe in a creator that made you, I mean spoke you into existence, the rest of it's like, why? Why? No, creation, understanding God as your creator. Now, I'm using Nehemiah 9 tonight, and the start of their prayer, Lord, you're the creator of the heavens and the heavens of heavens. And Lord, glory be to you. When they start their prayer for revival, they're recognizing God as the creator. You say, why? Do you realize how much in the Bible God refers to himself as the creator? Over and over and over again. And God never, isn't it wonderful? God never begs you to believe the Bible. God declares who he is. God declares what he's done. And if you don't want to believe it, you don't have to. It's your choice, right? But God doesn't say, oh, please get saved. Please. God invites you to get saved. God doesn't beg you. He already died for you. What has he got to prove? If God tried to prove himself to you and God tried to explain himself, it'd blow your head. Right? We couldn't handle it. We couldn't fathom it. Job chapter 41 already has questions that science has never been able to answer. And still to this day can't. All right? Let's keep on going. So we've looked at Colossians. We've seen how creation and salvation are linked very close together. And the serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. How come the first thing God wants you to know about the devil is that he gets you to question the Bible? Because if you'll question God's word, you won't live it. That's why Satan always deals with you in questions. You understand? God always deals in commands and statements. God never questions you. That's how come the question, are you really saved? How real is heaven? That's Satan. That's the thoughts of doubt. God doesn't deal with you with questions. He deals with you with truth and statements. Amen? You learn that from the Bible. Genesis 3:4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. You can do what you want. And then notice the promise. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as gods. Knowing you get to be your own God. Don't let God tell you what to do. Be your own God. You call the shots. You know, we've been dealing with that for 6,000 years. It's just been under different names, right? But there's so much in Genesis 3, so much practical for today and watching what we're dealing with in our society. This thought of being your own God, okay? We know the Mormons teach this. Exaltation is eternal life, the kind of life that God lives. He is a creator. This is what the Mormons say. This is official Mormon doctrine. We can become gods like our Heavenly Father. No, you cannot. Look, when you get to heaven, you're going to be like Jesus, but you're not going to be Jesus. You'll be like Him in that you'll have an eternal body. But nobody's going to worship me in heaven. Amen? We'll worship Jesus. Okay? No, you cannot become like God. The Mormons grabbed hold of it, but that's Genesis 3, right? Ye shall be as gods. Be your own God. Become God. Okay, and watch this. Look at it. Look at one of the dogmas of the Catholic Church. This is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. For the Son of God became man so that we might become God. That's from Ignatius Press, page 116, and there's all the documentation from it. A lot of religions hold to it. Not all. But this idea of you becoming your own God. You call the shots. God doesn't have to tell you what to do. It goes back to Genesis 3. All right? Now, here's the question. If you are the God of your own universe, okay, and I'm the God of my own universe, since you're your own God, and you get to call the shots in your world, and I get to call the shots in mine, then what stops me from shooting you if I want to? Morals come from your knowledge of God. Remember, what you believe determines how you behave, right? But if you're your own God and you get to do whatever you want, you answer to nobody, then if you want to kill somebody, you get to. Morals come from the Bible, your belief in God. You're going to stand before God someday. Amen? You're accountable to God. That is what is not taught. That's what they don't want to hear. All right? So, that's just a question, and I don't want to shoot anybody. I was just asking a question, okay? I was trying to get you to see how important this is. It says here, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. This is Proverbs chapter 8. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Notice what God says. All they that hate me love death. If you hate God, you love death. What a verse. Doesn't that describe the violence in our society? No God, come from an animal, live like one. They that hate me love death. And that leads to a violent society when you do that. You cannot, our morals and how we treat each other comes from God. Because we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of ourselves to God. Let's keep on going here. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So we were made, in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough and often enough, the people will believe it. Hillary's proved that, right? Never give up the con, right? Just keep it up. Just every time you open your mouth, just let that same lie come out of your mouth. But if you tell the people loud enough, long enough, and often enough, they'll believe it. People are more likely to believe a big lie than a small one. So if you're going to lie, make it big. Where'd you learn that from? Hitler. Hitler showed that. Okay? First law of thermodynamics is matter cannot be created or destroyed. Look, here's how we know evolution's a lie. Life doesn't come from an inanimate object. That's science. It never has, and it never will. And Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the things that are made from the things that are invisible. Oh, that's science. Really? Yeah, when they dive in far enough with a microscope, they find out that the atom, smaller than the atom, is what? Protons and neutrons. And they still don't know what keeps the atom together. God speaks it. He holds all things together by the word of his power. It's God's word that does it. They still don't know how come negative and positive, neutrons and protons, circling the atom, what keeps it there? They don't know. They don't know. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God's the only one that creates. We make things out of things that God created. But we can't create anything out of... Create means to apply energy and create something out of nothing. We can't create anything. God's the only one that does that. Man can make something. Okay, what's the simplest form of life on earth? A blade of grass. They still can't make one. Since it's so simple, make one. Since you're the genius, they still can't. Here we go. God said, let there be. Hebrews 1:3 says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by God's word. God spoke it into existence, right? In this American, Scientific America, this is what it says. Ready? The observable universe could have evolved from an infinitesimal region. Infinitesimal. That's a word for small, right? Okay? It's then tempting to go one step further and speculate that the entire universe evolved from literally nothing. Infinitesimal region is how the universe started. That means a dot, right? And they'll say in the textbooks, the universe started, all the matter of the universe was compressed into an area that's no bigger than the period on this page. And then, we'll see, it started swirling, and then it exploded, and then the whole universe, it happens every 80 to 100 million years, is going to compress again into a dot and explode, and we'll have another big bang. Really? So we don't have to worry about global warming. We have to worry about global squishing. Okay? No. Isn't that garbage? Really, the whole universe into one dot on the page. Ding-dongs. Okay? I mean, that's professing themselves wise, they become what? Fools. Fools. Okay? Okay? So, this dot started spinning faster and faster. And then a star, our sun, was born as the fusion gave off energy and it exploded. And so now, here we go. It spun then. As the nebula shrank, it spun faster and faster. And like I just said, a star, our sun, was born. Okay. So, then the universe happens from a bang, supposedly. Okay? The reason the Big Bang could not have happened, okay, is, all right, first of all, if you'd look at a creationist timeline, okay, we believe in the beginning God. They believe in the beginning dirt, okay? Look, it takes faith to believe both because there's no proof of the other. And I think it takes less faith to believe God's word than it does life came from an inanimate object. Some pool of bacteria, really? Okay? We believe that the earth is 6,000 years old, okay? And then we're in the last over here, and that didn't come out real good tonight. The evolutionist timeline is 20 billion years ago. The Big Bang happened, okay? So, here we go. They believe in the beginning dirt. So, if 1 inch equals 150 years, the length of what we believe would be about 4 years, 48 inches. Do you realize if 1 inch equals 150 years, do you know how long their line is? 2,100 miles. Okay? 2,100, that's from that. Okay? 2,100 miles. Okay? Isn't this goofy? So, here's what I want you to, because I'm going to refer to this. They believe 20 billion years ago, there was a big bang. The earth formed 4.5 billion years ago. And then life appeared 3 billion years ago. And then man evolved 3 million years ago. Okay? So this is their timeline, and we'll make reference to this, okay, in just a second. Okay? How come this, and I do like the question, and this is tax supported, right? But this is what you pay taxes so they can teach it in the schools? Where did the matter come from? Where did the laws come from? Gravity. Who made the laws? Where did the energy come from to create this and that made the Big Bang? And the reason we know a Big Bang didn't happen is, do you know what a merry-go-round is? Okay? You say, are you sure? We have a merry-go-round. Praise the Lord. I know it's not politically correct to have one. You say, why? Because when I was growing up, fourth graders would get on the merry-go-round and the football players would push it faster and faster. Everybody, see, if you're a kid from my generation, you remember this, okay? You say, why? Because I had to wear Band-Aids after this was done, okay? I was not the one pushing the merry-go-round. So, phase one, the kids are all going, faster, faster. Then phase two, they quit yelling faster and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna, and they start holding on for dear life, right? It's going about 30 miles an hour. Now, phase three, they're really cranking it and it's going 60 miles an hour, okay? And guess what happens in phase four? At 100 miles an hour, bodies start flying off the merry-go-round. Okay? Now, the reason we know the Big Bang did not happen is because they say things were swirling and then the explosion happens. Because of the law of conservation of angular momentum, it says the outside objects are spinning the same direction as the inside objects. Okay? So that's a law. So bottom line is, if the merry-go-round is spinning counterclockwise, everybody that flies off of the merry-go-round is also going to be spinning clockwise, right? No matter what direction they went, they're all spinning the same direction. Okay, that's pretty simple to understand, right? The reason we know the Big Bang did not happen, there's another picture of the conservation of angular momentum. Venus, Uranus, and possibly Pluto rotate backwards from the other planets. Explain that, and they can't. Well, we know what happens in the science lab. I think God did that to make your Big Bang theory a joke. Amen? Watch this. If that's not enough, three planets in our solar system rotate the opposite direction. No, there was no Big Bang. How about this? Before I get into this, all this is based off the origin of species, and that's all the further anybody ever quotes Charles Darwin's title. Have you ever read the whole title that's on the book? The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. So that's the textbook for college and high school and all evolution classes. Do you know what's in that book? Nobody here's read it. One of the statements he makes is Negroes are the missing link between monkeys and men. That's in the book. Nobody's crying racism, but that's what's taught. Look it up yourself. You know what else is in the book? Females are not cerebrally or mentally developed. They're more developed emotionally and cannot hold a conversation with a man. This is 1859. Now, some of the guys are going, well, that might be. No, I'm just kidding. Wait a second. With all of the racist, feminist talk, nobody's saying this shouldn't be taught. Darwin was a nasty individual. Nasty. Yet this is the textbook. This is where all of 1859, this is when the book was published, this is when it came out. All of this comes from this junk. We come from primordial soup, that evolved into, and then the fish, the frog, and then, the mammal, or it took a different direction if it went to a reptile. That's where all this comes from. But nobody's read it. And I'm not telling you to go home and read it, okay? I'm just saying nobody's read it. And the garbage that's in it is nothing but garbage. It's stupid in so many ways. Here we go. Let's go back. Remember the spinning planets thing? Okay? Watch. 6 of the 63 moons in our solar system rotate backwards out of 63 moons in our solar system. If that's not enough, Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune have moons that orbit in both directions around their planet. No, there was no Big Bang. It couldn't have happened, right? Here we go. Let's keep on going here. God says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth shall be burned up. So when somebody says, I believe in a big bang, you should say, well, my Bible talks about a big bang too. Number one, God spoke it and bang, it happened. Okay? Number two, one day this earth is going to explode. God says it's going to. There's going to be a big bang. But not your big bang is a bad big bang. My big bang is a big bang is a much better big bang. Okay? You know another reason it's good to teach about this in church? All of us face this when we go soul winning. And when somebody says they don't believe in God, do you know why they don't believe in God? Because they've chosen to believe evolution. And you can't believe both at once. You either believe evolution or you don't believe the Bible. But this is some of the stuff we meet out on the street and we'll use. Okay? I know I use it. Let me just cover just one more here. Okay, I told you it's the Big Bang. The second law of thermodynamics. You know what? We're going to start off here next week. Okay? But I'm going to show you what I want to finish this with is there are reasons evolution could never have happened. Never. And it's more than just, there's so many reasons. And I'm talking true science that can be proved versus, you know, everybody knows, I can't remember, Brother Butler and I were just talking to somebody. There's no evolution. There's no proof of evolution. There are no missing links. There are no fossils of any animal that has changed from one to the other, let alone from monkeys to men. There is nothing. There's nothing except textbooks that say it happened. No, I think this is important, and I hope tonight's Bible study shows you why the world's in the mess that it's in. And I'll hit this more with you after our missions conference. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that when the world is groping and, Lord, looking for truth, not knowing, Lord, help us, please, to be a light. Lord, help us to be a refuge. And